Hello, and welcome back to our little mini Easter series. And over the last couple of weeks, what we've done is we have been able to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The fact that when Jesus dies and rises again on the third day, on Easter Sunday, which we celebrated a few weeks ago, we remembered that you and I can come into relationship with the living God, that our debts of sin have been cancelled through Jesus, and we can come boldly into the throne room of grace. We then last week saw that after accepting Jesus as our Saviour, that Jesus commissions us to make disciples, baptising them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit wherever we go. And this week, I would love for us to look at a passage in John 21, where we see Jesus recommission us and for us to play our part in the life of the church. And I've titled my sermon this week, The First Breakfast. And the reason I've done so is because we often spend time looking at the Last Supper as a moment where one covenant ends. And we understand the victory of that. But in this passage in John 21, we're going to see that this first breakfast is a significant moment where Jesus appears to the disciples for a third time. And he commissions them, meets them, shows them who he is, and kind of sends them out with power to be able to bring God's kingdom. And I want us to look at this passage in that way, to realize that Jesus is calling you and I to bring his kingdom into the world. Because when I look at the world, we see that it is broken, that it needs hope, it needs love, it needs peace, it needs justice. And we know that Jesus intends for the world to know his love and his joy and his peace through you and I, the church. You know, the love of God that we experience on Easter Sunday is to be carried to the whole world through you and I, through the church. So let's turn to John 21, where I'll look at some sayings from Jesus and then some ways that we can apply the Bible today. So John 21, it says, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we'll go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, but about 100 yards off. When they went out onto land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you've caught. So Simon Peter went abroad and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now, none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus revealed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved. He had said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after he said this to him, he said, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had also leaned back against him during the supper and had said, Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. This is the word of God. So just to recap what's happened here, is that Jesus appears to the disciples for a third time. And I don't think it is by any coincidence that the author writes for the third time and that Jesus appears for the third time. Because in Middle Eastern culture, for things to happen three times, almost said that there was a finality to it, that was the thing that was going to happen. So the fact that Peter denies Jesus three times, and say, Jesus, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I'm sure about it. But then here, where Jesus asks him, do you love me? Three times. He wants to know, Simon, Peter, do you love me? You know, the kind of three times of finality. And here is a third time for the disciples to know Jesus has been risen from the dead. He is now resurrected and he is commissioning them. And he meets them on the Sea of Tiberias or Galilee, as some passages say. And this passage has a sense of things aren't just right yet. Like there's something that needs to be reconciled. And we see that through the fact that the disciples go out fishing at night. You know, it's almost as if they go out at night and they don't get what they want. They don't get the fish that they need. They've gone back to their old jobs. And it's almost as if the darkness, the lack of Jesus' presence means that they aren't able to accomplish what they accomplish. But the moment that they see Jesus on the break of day, the light of the world, and they listen to his commands, they find success in what they are called to do. And after Jesus then, commands them to fish, he then has this great meal with them where he provides for them. And then Jesus zooms in to a conversation with Peter, who I can imagine is heartbroken because he knew that he wasn't going to, that he betrayed Jesus, but he now has an opportunity to come face to face with Jesus and maybe reconcile and do things differently. And then we see that Jesus shows them the life that they're supposed to live. And as we look at this passage, we see that Jesus shows us what it means to know him, but then to live our lives serving the people around us and to be able to serve the church. And so the first saying that I would love us to look at is in verse 12, where Jesus says, come and have breakfast. It's almost as if this saying is the foundation which Jesus wants to start his conversation with the disciples and for us. Jesus is here in this moment showing the disciples that he is the one who will provide for them as they go on mission. The disciples have almost come full circle in some ways. They started off as fishermen. They didn't know that they'd be called fishers of men. They meet Jesus. He commissions them to now be fishers of men. They spend time with Jesus. But then they find themselves back on a boat, going back to what they used to do instead of coming to Jesus. And it's almost without Jesus and without knowing the one who provides for them, they're unable to accomplish their mission. This first breakfast, as I've called it, is a moment where Jesus reminds them, I'm the one who provides for you. I don't know if you noticed, but what it says is that as they came onto shore, Jesus already had bread and fish ready. But he does want to partner with them. He says, bring some of the fish that you have. But he's showing them, as you go on mission, I will provide for you. I will give you all that you need. I will be the one who sustains you through everything. That as you journey and serve the kingdom of God, the people of God, I will be with you. I will give you all that I need daily. And for us, I want us to remember and to see Jesus' words here is that Jesus says to you and I that as we serve him, as we serve the people of God, to know that he will give us all that we need. That whatever we think we might need, whether it be spiritually or physically, Jesus will meet us where we're at. When I first became a pastor almost 10 years ago, there was a period where I was really struggling to get around, basically to meetings and that sort of thing within the town that we're at. And I couldn't afford a car, and the buses were just really unreliable, or I'd get there late. And I was just saying, God, I really need a car. Please, would you provide for me? And one day, someone that we knew within the church walked up to me and said, Tex, we're getting a new car, but we really felt God say to us that we want to give you our car so that he can bless you in your ministry. So what I saw is that Jesus, in my moment of need, as I said, Jesus, I want to serve you. Would you provide for me? God provided for me. So I've seen God provide for me physically, but I've also seen God provide for me spiritually. There's so many moments that I can recall where and I'm sure many of us can attest to this, that we've turned up week in, week out at the ministry that we serve in. And maybe we've just felt, God, I have nothing to give today. But in that moment where we say, Jesus, please, would you help me? Would you come and give me all that I need? That by the power of the Holy Spirit, we experience Jesus just for that moment to maybe pray the prayer that someone needs, the energy to keep serving in that meeting. But we see that God, he will provide for us in every area that we need. And one of the ways that I want us to apply what we're looking at today is just to ask us a question and then to reflect on that. And the first question to reflect on Jesus saying of come and have breakfast and knowing that he is going to be the one who gives us all that we need. I want to ask us, what does it look like for you to trust God to give you all that you need? Is it that you maybe have to lay some anxieties at his feet, say, God, I'm worried about this thing? Is it maybe to just be honest with God about what you feel you're lacking? But as we reflect and the question comes up, I want to pause and to ask us, what does it look like for you to trust God to give you all that you need? The next kind of saying that we see Jesus say is in verse 15 to 17, where he kind of zooms in on Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me? And for Peter, this, I can imagine, is one of the most difficult moments that he's had to experience. Because we see that Peter, that, you know, the word charcoal that's used in this passage, the only other time that it's used is in Greek, the only other time that it's used again is, or before, is when Peter is stood around the coals when he denies Jesus. So for Peter, this interaction of Jesus is almost taking him back in time. And maybe it's causing him a great sense of pain and anxiety. But Jesus asks him, do you love me? And Jesus is not asking Peter, do you love me, as if he's trying to test Peter. But what he's doing, he is showing Peter that he is a gracious, loving, merciful God who is giving Peter another opportunity to come into the presence of God and to respond to Jesus' love. Because Jesus has loved him so much that he's come now to restore him. And for us, are we letting our failures stop us from coming to Jesus? Do we maybe feel a little bit like Peter, that we can't come back to God because we said, oh, Jesus, I wouldn't do that, but maybe under pressure we weren't able to? Jesus is saying, do you love me? Wanting you to respond because he has loved you first. He's right here, right now. Jesus is saying that to you. Again, I've seen this in my own life. When I was 15, I knew that God had called me to be a pastor. And in some ways, I resonate a lot with Peter just throughout his journey. I feel like Peter is very zealous. And often he does things and Jesus is saying, slow down, Peter. And sometimes I really resonate with that. And what happened was I was zealous for Christ, but then under pressure, I turned my back on Jesus when I was 17. And I really resonated with Peter. But then a little bit later on, there was a preacher who spoke about Jonah's call and how God was pursuing Jonah, you know, with steadfast love. And I just felt God say to me there, Tex, there is grace for you to come back. Will you obey me? Will you, you know, do you love me? Are you accepting? Are you coming and stepping into this call that I have for you? And today I want us to be able to respond with, are you able to put your trust in Jesus again? Is that what you need to do? And the question that I want to ask us today is, how would you answer Jesus' question of, do you love me today? Maybe for some of us, we'd answer it as, Jesus, I love you and I'm all good to go. I'm ready to accept your command. But maybe for some of us saying, Jesus, I really am trying to love you as best I can, but there are these things that I'm really struggling with. Be honest with God. Bring them at his feet. He is merciful, kind, as we've seen here. So let's reflect. How would you answer Jesus' question of, do you love me today? Jesus then goes on to say, feed my sheep and follow me, after Peter's response of saying, yes, Jesus, I love you, I really do. What we're seeing here is that Jesus takes the idea of loving God, but then he says it must outwork itself in action. And in this passage, we can see that the world is almost, or the people in the world are almost divided up into the two animals. There's fish and then there's sheep. The fish are representing, you know, people who don't know Christ, but are ready to be swept up for the sake of the gospel. And then the sheep are the flock, the church. We see that Jesus then commands me saying, if you love me, you need to care for my sheep. You need to follow me and be a fisher of men. That there is a real sense of action in Jesus' call, that knowing God means that you then act in love towards those around you. And as I said earlier, when I look at the way that the world is, I know that Jesus wants God's kingdom to come through the church, through you and I, that we are able to bring God's kingdom through the church, that as you and I experience God's love, as we respond to that saying of, do you love me, with, yes, Lord, I love you, Jesus wants to equip us to be able to bring his kingdom elsewhere. And often I think that looks like serving, and particularly in the local church, week in, week out. We saw this over the last couple of terms at Alpha. So my wife, Emma, and I led the Alpha course. And, you know, every week we're turning up, setting tables with the team. You know, we're setting tables up, we're washing up, we're resetting the chairs at Catford. And if you've ever been to Catford, you know that that is no small feat. But, you know, we're doing it. And what happened there was by us saying, yes, Lord, I want to tend to the sheep. As a team, as we said, Lord, I want to tend to the sheep. I want to follow you. We saw God's kingdom break out. There was a lady who came on the Alpha course in the autumn term, and she put her trust in Jesus, and then she was baptized. And what happened was that she experienced God's love, and then she took God's kingdom to her home. And last week, we saw her husband get baptized. So we saw this idea of disciples making disciples. And all we did was we said, Lord, I want to respond in action to tend to the sheep and to follow you. So the question I want to ask us is, How can you play your part in the church? Could you do that through serving in a particular area? You know, what gifts has God given you? Is it maybe on a PA team? Is it on the welcome team, the youth team, the kids' church team? So I want us to reflect, how can you play your part in the church? Ask God, what gifts and talents has he given you? And I really feel, as I've been preparing this message, that God is speaking to some of you who he's given you gifts and talents, but you've almost been on the sidelines, it feels. And you're thinking, oh, should I step in? Should I not? Is now the right time? I really feel God would want to say to you, yes, step in. He will give you all that you need as you go forward. But you have a part to play in the church. So take that step. But let's reflect. How can you play your part in the church? Lastly, the saying that I want to focus on is in verse 22, where Jesus says, "It is my will." And in the context of this passage, Jesus, when he talks about, and he has the saying of, "It is my will," he is talking about the fact that both Peter and John are going to die. Because what we see is that following Jesus is costly. You know, that is a narrative through scripture. Jesus even himself, he says, if you want to follow me, you have to take up your cross and die to yourself. But Jesus brings, the reason he says it is my will, because he wants all of us to know that as we serve Jesus and we experience the cost, he wants to remind us that ultimately he is always in control, that he is always working, that even in the midst of difficulty, he is in control and he will work all things for good. We almost see Peter in this passage literally physically looking back. And Jesus is saying, it is my will, is to remind Peter, he's in control. So Peter, don't look back. Just look forward. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, don't worry about what maybe is going on in other people's lives. Just keep loving me, keep serving, being where you are. But remember, I'm in control. It's like Jesus top and tails this section of the passage with comfort, knowing that he will provide for us, but also reminding us it will cost us, but knowing that he will come for us. He will bring us hope and we can trust in him to do that. And for us, you know, we need to remember that costing Jesus will follow us on a day-to-day basis. Most of us will never have to live like John and Peter and lose our lives for the sake of the gospel. But Jesus wants to remind us he's with us and he is in control. And so the question that I would love to end on for this section is, what could God be asking you to give up for the sake of the gospel? For me, I feel like God is calling me to give up the idea of wanting more and more leisure time, that the kind of narrative that I will find rest in front of the TV and in Netflix. But Jesus is saying to me, Tex, I want you to give that up to tend to my sheep and to follow me. What could God be speaking to you about? What thing might God be calling you to give up for the sake of the gospel? So I'd love us to reflect on that. To kind of end today's sermon, what I want us to remember is that Jesus is calling each and every one of us to step into the kingdom of God, that he is calling us to play a part within the church, that you and I have a part to play, a contribution to make, but to know that God is with us every step of the way, that whatever anxieties we might feel, whatever worries we have, to know God is with us. He will sustain us. That phrase of come and have breakfast, it's almost as if Jesus is saying, daily I will give you the bread that you need, almost fresh manna every morning to make it through to serve the kingdom of God. Not only in the church, but maybe in your workplace, your friendship group, your school, wherever you find yourself. Jesus is with us, but he's calling us to step in to his kingdom. But again, to remember that This is all motivated and centered around the love of Christ. The phrase, do you love me? You know, Jesus saying, do you love me? Because I love you dearly, so much so that I gave my life for you. So letting the gospel, the welcoming embrace of Jesus, be comfort to your soul. And today, you can just recommit your life to him to say, Lord, I'm following you. And we can obey his commands of saying, Lord, I'm going to feed the sheep and I'm going to follow you. But knowing he is in control because it's his will. And so I want to ask us, will we step in today? Will we step into Jesus' call for us to bring his kingdom and to play our part in the church and beyond? I hope that all of us say that with a resounding yes. But I'm going to pray for us. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you first loved us. God, I want to pray for every single person that is listening to this, that they would know your grace, your comfort, your hope, your peace. And God, out of that understanding, the joy of their salvation, that they would be compelled to love those around them. God, I pray that you would give us courage to know what we need to give up for the sake of the gospel. But God, I also pray that we'd have great sense of comfort knowing that you are in control, providing for us in every shape or form. In Jesus' name, amen.